know, I feel like I've been in church today. I love this choir and orchestra. I do. I can tell you, they're not just talented, they love God. And it truly comes from their heart. And it is such a joy to be led to the throne of God by this group of people that know and love Him. I also love the song Silent Night, don't you? I mean, it's almost inhuman not to like that song. I want to talk to you about that song, that special Christmas song today. Now, I am not a country and western fan. I know many of you are, and it's just great. I just never have gotten into that. And so I don't know most of the stars of country and western music. I don't know. But I came across a quote from a guy named Travis Tritt. How many of you know who Travis Tritt is? A bunch of you know. I'd never heard of him before, but I liked his quote. He told the story. Oh, this, by the way, this is a picture of him. He told the story about how he got into this profession, and when he got started, you know, he was singing in places that weren't the best locations, and they would have fights on a kind of a regular basis. And he said that early on he came across this solution, and here's his quote. He said, "Silent Night proved to be my all-time lifesaver. Just when fights started getting out of hand and when bikers were reaching for their pool cues and the rednecks were headed for the gun racks, I started playing Silent Night. It could be in the middle of July. I didn't care. Sometimes they would even start crying, standing there, watching me sweat and play Christmas carols." Can you imagine these bikers starting to cry? And I'm going to tell you, this is the tip of the day. If a fight breaks out in your home, start singing Silent Night. Who knows, they may even start crying right there in the living room. If you were listening to the video of explanation of Silent Night, do you remember? It was written in 1818. That makes it 200 years old. And do you remember that it was written by a pastor in a little village in Austria? And you remember the name of the church that he was the pastor of? The Church of St. Nicholas. A Christmas carol written by the pastor of St. Nicholas Church. Who's ever heard of such a thing? Now, it's not Santa Claus Church, it's St. Nicholas Church. We're in a series entitled The Carols of Christmas, and last week we looked, it was the first one, we're going to look at a few of the Christmas carols, and that especially the ones that are hardwired right into the scriptures. And last week was Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it was a real stunner, quite honestly. I've had so many people say to me this week, "Wow, I'd sung that song all these years, these decades. I had no idea there was so much theology. There was so many deep truths of the Bible all packed into one song." It was just absolutely amazing. When I started studying this, I was just totally amazed by it. Charles Wesley, who wrote that Hark the Herald Angels Sing, took truths about Jesus, deep truths in God's Word about who Jesus is, what He was about, what this whole plan of God was in His Son Jesus Christ, and put it from all over the passages all over the New Testament, all right there into one song. It was absolutely amazing, stunning. But Silent Night is not built that way. Silent Night is built with feeling, with emotion. It's not as much about theology, though everything in the song is totally true and right out of God's Word, but the purpose of Silent Night was to speak to our heart, our emotion. And think about it, the pastor was there, he was on a hill, he was looking over the village of people that he knew and loved and he'd given his heart to, and it was nighttime and it was snowing, and it was Christmas Eve, lights, candles all lit in the windows. So just the sun, the moon was just was strong and bright. And there in that scene, he wrote Silent Night, bringing it together with that night Jesus was born. It's all about emotion. Silent Night does not mean, though, an uneventful night. I thought that it would be really good as we got started with this, because I want to talk to you about that for a few moments, that maybe we would read the words. Sometimes we sing words and they don't really lodge inside of us. So I thought it'd be a great thing if we read the words as we got started. And would you do it out loud? I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if you would read it out loud, I'd appreciate it. You ready? Here we go. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. It's all about the mood, it's all about the feelings. This song, this Christmas message to us was really brought out by Luke chapter 2. This is what was in the mind of the pastor. Luke chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. And I thought, hey, what a great opportunity to have an incredibly handsome, brilliant, amazingly talented young man come and read the passage for us. So my grandson, Jude Stephen Hartman, is going to come and do that very thing right here. Come and stand beside me, my great buddy. Now, his middle name is Stephen because he was named after his dad, whose middle name is Stephen, and middle name was Stephen because he was named after his dad, whose middle name is Stephen. So we got something going here, right? For generations to come. So, Jude, you're 9 years old. In what grade?
The third grade.
Third grade. You've grown enough. No more getting older. This is it right here. No luck. Jude, I would love it if you would read the passage of Scripture starting in Luke chapter 2. Okay. Would you do that for us?
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
He's just amazing. I don't know what to say. I noticed, did you notice how many hard words there were in that passage? And perfect, absolutely perfect. Jude, you've been on the platform several times with your poppy, and you've even read passages from the Bible with me. And I want to tell you, you did a great job. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming up here. I've actually taught from this passage and taught here from this passage before, but there's one idea that I'd never really grabbed hold of before, but I want to mention it because I think it's so important. This was an ordinary night. I mean, there were no parades. There was no fanfare. There was nobody in the town that even knew what was going on. I mean, the shepherds outside, they were addressed by the angels. But I'm talking about in Bethlehem, nobody knew. It was just an ordinary night. Max Lucado is one of my favorite Christian authors, and maybe you've heard of Max Lucado. And if you ever get anything from him, if you ever see anything that he has written, I hope that you'll take the time to read it. He's just absolutely amazing. He gets things that maybe nobody else really gets. He sees it, especially about things related to Christ in his birth and in his crucifixion and resurrection. And it is in one of the Christmas stories that Max Lucado grabs hold of this idea of an ordinary night, an ordinary sky, ordinary sheep and shepherds. And yet, just as Max says, yet it is so like God to put the word extra right in front of ordinary and turn everything around. And that is exactly what happens on this night. No one saw it coming. It was an ordinary night. Nothing looked unique, but God had a plan. And on this night, the God of the universe came into the creation that he had made. He inserted himself into his own creation. And in a matter of years, he'd be walking through the grass he had made, and up and down hills he had created, and looking into the sky he had made. He came as the Son of God, took on a body, and came to this earth that night that for everybody else seemed totally ordinary. But it was never intended to be ordinary to God. To understand the whole idea of ordinary in our lives and silent night, you got to grab hold of this idea that for the last 400 years, it had been silent nights. For 1,500 years in Israel's history, God had sent a succession of one prophet after another and one man after another to write some what we call books of the Old Testament. And one after another, after another, after another of these books had been written and now collected in what we understand as the Old Testament. It had all been brought together. They were all the words of God. And God was always saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and this prophet would say what God had spoken to his heart to say, and those writers of the books would say what God had given them to say. But something happened. It all stopped. And for 400 years, no prophets, no words from God. For 400 years. Ezekiel had foreseen it. Ezekiel, in one of the visions that God gave to him, you remember that Ezekiel had this vision. He was there in Jerusalem, and there was the Temple Mount, and there was the temple. And Ezekiel had this vision of all of a sudden the Shekinah glory of God coming up out of the Holy of Holies and hovering around over the temple for a few moments, and then it was gone. As though the known presence of God had left. For the first time in all of Israel's history, the known presence of God was gone. And there was no voice. 400 years of silent nights. To the point that the Jewish people began to feel God has abandoned us. Where is he? There are times in our lives that it's exactly how we feel. When we're going through some real hard days, some real hard moments, and oh God, if you are ever going to come through, I need you to come through right now. And we pray and cry out to God and, oh God, please. And sometimes we get nothing back but silence. We hear nothing. And we're tempted to think he's abandoned me. He does not care about me. God, where are you? But it is in this story that it reminds us that God not only cares about us, but God is actually at work in our lives, even in the silence. Even in the times of the silence, he's not abandoned you. He's not forgotten you. God's silence does not mean his absence. He's still at work. I'm hoping that today, if you don't get anything else, you get this. He's still there. He still cares for you. He is still at work in your life, even in the silence. The song Silent Night also reminds us that Christmas is a powerful moment. Christmas is more than just decoration and gifts. In our culture, it involves decoration and gifts. And you know what? I don't mind it. I love it. I like it. I like all the lights. I like all the decorations. I love it. I don't want them to go away. I like them. I love the whole gift thing. I love to give gifts. I love to think about gifts and what am I going to give and then sort of put a plan together. I love that. I love to give gifts. I love to get gifts. I love both sides of the equation. I think there's a few others in the room that agree with me. The decorations and the gifts, it's great. I don't want them to go away. But the core of Christmas is not decorations and it's not gifts. The core of Christmas is God coming into the world to change you, to change your world. Christmas is a time that you can reconnect with God. There's some in this room, and the truth is you've never even connected with God. You knew there was a God. You've sensed in your mind there's a God, but there's never really been any connection with God. But Christmas is a time that everybody's talking about really spiritual things during the season. And it is a time that sort of pushes our mind back to God. And it can be and should be a time that you, maybe for the first time, connect with God. And no matter where you are in your journey, in your spiritual journey, no matter where you are, it could be a time that you can, wherever in your journey you are, you can take it to the next level of connecting with God in a deeper way, in a more meaningful way. Let Christmas be that, not just about the periphery. Let Christmas be about God. Let him be in the forefront. Let yourself connect with God in a deeper way than maybe you have. Christmas really can be a powerful moment. It happened almost 100 years after Silent Night had been written. Almost 100 years, 1914. And the world was caught up in the horrible World War I. It was in all of its fury. And there at a particular day, Christmas Eve in 1914, something unbelievable that no one could have imagined, no story could have created because it was too outrageous. But it actually happened on Christmas Eve. There the war was raging, and on one side the trenches were the Germans, and the other side the trenches were all filled with the English, and the soldiers were killing each other and shooting at each other. And all of a sudden, to everyone's shock, because of this song, Silent night, this happened. Watch this video.
Jenkins, I'm clean.
Night.
I'm Britta, come!
Jim?
Jim, no, don't do it!
Halt! Es nicht bewaffnet! Nein, Otto!
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön.
It happened exactly this way, including the soccer game. And it happened because of a song, Silent Night, and that people on both sides were Christ followers. And for a moment in time, they laid down their fight. And they saw each other as human beings. British corporal named John Ferguson wrote, "We shook hands, wished each other a Merry Christmas, and were soon conversing as if we had known each other for years. Here we were laughing and chatting to men whom only a few hours before we were trying to kill." Here are a couple of pictures that were real pictures of what happened there that were taken at the moment. Another English soldier wrote home, "I wouldn't have missed the experience of yesterday for the most gorgeous Christmas dinner in England." This next picture was a picture of a monument that was constructed to remember that day. But soon thereafter, generals on both sides declared that that sort of event was illegal and was never to be repeated again. But what if they hadn't? And what if somehow, at this moment, there would have been a willingness to say, let's talk, let's work through our differences, let's come to some negotiated peace? What if World War I would have ended starting with this? At that moment, those of you who are students of World War II know that World War II happened because of how World War I ended. But what if it would have ended differently, this way? World War II may have never happened. 200 million people's lives may have never been destroyed had they been willing to just say, you are a person and I am too. Let's stop and talk. What I want to challenge you to do is during this Christmas season to make a truce with someone in your life. Maybe it's a member of your family or extended family. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's just somebody. And can't we at Christmas make a truce because of Jesus? Can't we stop the war? Can't we stop the fighting? Can't we stop the battle? There is a desire by Almighty God to bring a truce to you and Him. The Bible says that if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're really in a war with God. Oh, no, I'm not in a war with God. I believe in God. I love God, but I just don't accept Jesus. Well, no, the Bible says that if a person rejects Jesus, that person is in a war with God. No, God and I have our own thing going. God has nothing going but through His Son. He sent His Son to die on a cross, to go through all He went through and rise again for you. He has nothing going, the Bible says, but through His Son. Would you give your heart to Christ? Would you receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Would you begin a truce with God by coming to know Jesus in your heart? In just a few moments, right through the center doors and across the short for you, there's a room called Next Step Center, and our ministers will be there, and you can talk to one of our ministers one-on-one about how could I know Jesus as my Savior? What does that mean? How could I join this church? I know Christ, but how could I join this church? Come and talk to one of our ministers. I just want someone to pray for me. Come and talk to one of our ministers. Open your heart. We'll be there. Give us the opportunity. Next Step Center in just a few moments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you and loving you. And today, Father, move in hearts to be willing to say, I give my life to Jesus. I want a truce with God. I want to know the God that saved me. I want to be a member of Sugar Creek. Well, God, whatever you're laying on people's hearts, may the answer today be yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.